we present Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve in Paul Temple and the Gregory Affair, a serial in 10 episodes by Francis Durbridge. Episode 2, Introducing Sir Donald Murdo. Paul Temple, the celebrated novelist and private detective, is visited by an old friend, Sir Graham Forbes, the Chief Commissioner of Scotland Yard, and by Chief Inspector Vosper of the Criminal Investigation Department. The following is a brief resume of Episode 1.
5 weeks ago, a girl called Barbara Wallace mysteriously disappeared. 3 weeks later, her body was discovered at Seaburn near Whitby by Bill Harcourt, a Yorkshire fisherman, and by a young Norwegian called Peter Davos. Now, this is the interesting point, Temple. 2 days after Miss Wallace disappeared, her fiancé, a man called Edward Day, received by registered post a small diamond brooch. He recognised the brooch as belonging to Miss Wallace. She was, in fact, actually wearing it the night she disappeared. Mm-hmm. Attached to the brooch was a small slip of paper. It had a sentence scrawled across it in red ink. It said,
"With the compliments of Mr. Gregory."
With the compliments of Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Go on, Sir Graham.
Just over a week ago, a Coventry girl called Mildred Dawson visited an aunt of hers in London at St. John's Wood. Miss Dawson was due to return to Coventry on the 15th. She actually left Euston on the 6 o'clock. We know that for a fact. Yeah. But she never arrived at Coventry. Mm. This morning, her father received a bracelet of hers. Attached to the bracelet, there was a small slip of paper. You can see for yourself what it says.
With the compliments of Mr. Gregory. Sir Graham, tell me, is this slip of paper and the slip received by Day your only reason for suspecting that in some particular way the two cases are connected with each other?
Well...
No, not exactly, Mr. Temple. You see, we found a doctor's prescription on Barbara Wallace. It had apparently been made out for Miss Wallace by a certain Dr. Wiseman.
Well?
Well, this afternoon, sir, when we visited Miss Dawson's home in Coventry, I noticed a bottle of medicine. A prescription apparently made out for Miss Dawson by Dr. Wiseman.
Dr. Wiseman?
Yes, Dr. Wiseman.
The next morning, Temple decides to investigate the case and, together with Steve, his wife, leaves for Seaburn. At Seaburn, Temple interviews the young Norwegian, Peter Davos, and learns to his surprise that Miss Wallace's fiancé, Edward Day, has also visited Seaburn and interviewed both Davos and the old fisherman, Bill Harcourt. The following evening, on the way to Harcourt's cottage, Temple's car is deliberately forced off the road. Temple and Steve rest for a short while after the accident, and then, in order to obtain a lift from a passing car, he returns to the main road. Rather to his surprise, the occupant of the car, a Canadian girl of about 30, recognizes him.
That's a coincidence, if you like. I'm just on my way to see you, Mr. Temple.
To see me?
Yes. Perhaps I ought to introduce myself. My name is Wiseman. Dr. Wiseman.
Dr. Wiseman?
Yes. You seem sort of surprised.
Well, that's putting it mildly.
What's the matter? Don't I look like a doctor?
Not exactly. That's not what I was thinking.
What were you thinking, Mr. Temple?
Why did you want to see me?
Well, now, well, that's quite a story. Say, we can't talk like this. Let's pick up Mrs. Temple and get back to Seaburn. Perhaps we could all have a drink together at the hotel. I dare say Mrs. Temple could use a drink right now.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Okay, then if you'll tell... Oh, by the way...
Yes?
Was it an accident at the bridge, or...
No. No, we were deliberately forced off the road. Does that surprise you, Dr. Wiseman?
I'm not easily surprised, Mr. Temple. Perhaps you'll collect your wife? Well, Well, you certainly look better, Mr. Temple.
And I certainly feel better. By Timothy, I was glad to get out of that suit. Oh, I hope you'll excuse my wife, Dr. Wiseman. She's feeling a bit under the weather.
Gee, that's only natural. I hope Mrs. Temple takes those tablets I gave her. They'll make a world of difference.
Yes. I've just told her to take one and lie down for a while. Ah, here's the old boy.
I've taken the liberty of ordering you a whiskey and soda. I hope that's okay.
Oh, it's perfect.
Good evening, sir. Two whiskeys and sodas, is that correct, sir?
Just what the doctor ordered. Oh. I beg your pardon. Keep the change.
Thank you, sir.
That's better. Well, Dr. Wiseman, you said that you wanted to see me.
Mr. Temple, when I mentioned my name to you tonight, you were quite obviously surprised. Why? Had you heard my name mentioned before or somewhere?
Yes.
Where?
You still haven't answered my question, Dr. Wiseman. Why did you want to see me?
Because I'm puzzled about something, Mr. Temple. Because I'm puzzled and bewildered, and I need your help.
Go on.
About 6 weeks ago, I received a telephone call from a girl who called herself Barbara Wallace. And she told me that she had been recommended to see me by a certain Dr. Freyson. I'd never heard of Dr. Freyson, but I made an appointment to see Miss Wallace at my flat in Wigmore Street. I saw her at 3:30 on the afternoon of Wednesday, September the 4th.
Go on.
Miss Wallace told me that she had been suffering for quite a time from severe headaches and fits of depression. She was a highly strung, rather sensitive type of girl, but, well, as far as I can make out from a cursory examination, she seemed to me to be perfectly fit. I had the feeling, however, that,
Yes?
I had the feeling that she had been drinking rather heavily and, well, somewhat tactlessly, perhaps. I told her that before I could do anything for her, she'd have to cut down on the liquor and go in the wagon for 2 or 3 weeks. She looked me straight in the eye and said, I get that sort of advice from my fiancé, Eddie Day, and I don't have to pay a guinea for it. With that, she picked up her gloves, her handbag, and, well, that was the last I saw of the young lady.
Go on.
About 3 weeks later, I read in the newspaper that a certain Miss Barbara Wallace had mysteriously disappeared. There was a photograph of Miss Wallace in the paper taken with her fiancé, Edward Day.
Well?
The girl I interviewed at my flat that afternoon, the girl who said that she was engaged to Edward Day, was not the girl in the newspaper. Was not, in fact, the real Barbara Wallace.
Are you sure of this? Newspaper photographs can be
I'm absolutely sure. I've seen more than one photograph, Mr. Temple. And there's no doubt in my mind.
But why should anyone impersonate Barbara Wallace and make an appointment?
I don't know. I don't know, Mr. Temple. But first, please let me finish my story. About 10 days ago, I received an urgent telephone message requesting me to go to a house in Hampstead. When I got there, I discovered that there was a girl in the house and that she was suffering from... Well, to be quite frank with you, she seemed to be on the verge of a complete nervous breakdown. She told me that she had just moved to London from Coventry and that her name was Mildred Dawson.
Go on.
I gave her a sedative, promised to do what I could for her, and took my leave. The next morning, however, when I turned up at the house...
Yes?
The place was utterly and completely deserted. There just wasn't a sign of life anywhere. I've never seen that girl again, Mr. Temple, not from that day to this, but last night, I saw the photograph they took of Mildred Dawson, the photograph they took the night you discovered the body in your garage.
Well?
That wasn't the girl I saw. That wasn't the girl I saw at Hampstead, Mr. Temple.
Are you sure?
Absolutely sure.
When I asked you just now why you wanted to see me, you said, because I'm puzzled about something, Mr. Temple. Because I'm puzzled and I need your help.
Yes. Yesterday morning, a girl came to see me. She told me that her name was Virginia Van Cleve.
Virginia Van Cleve?
Yes. She said that she was rather worried about being a little overweight and that she had been recommended to me by a friend of mine, Dr. Claiborne. I made the usual examination, gave her some tablets, put her on a diet, and thought no more about the matter. But during the afternoon... By a strange coincidence, I bumped into Dr. Claiborne. I mentioned Miss Van Cleve to him, thanked him for sending her along to me, and rather to my surprise, he told me that he'd never even heard of the girl. I checked up on the address the girl had given me and the telephone number. They were both fictitious.
I see.
I've got the awful feeling that that girl was an imposter, and that what happened to the real Barbara Wallace and the real Mildred Dawson will, sooner or later, happen to
the real Virginia Van Cleve.
Yes.
What was she like, this girl?
Oh, Well, she was fairly tall, sharp-featured brunette, and quite well-spoken.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to the police when you realized that...
No, I was bewildered and rather confused about things, but I didn't want to go to the police. Last night, I read a report that you had decided to investigate the case, so I telephoned your flat on Half Moon Street. I couldn't get any reply from the flat, so I put a call through to your place at Bramley...
Bramley Lodge.
Yes. Someone called Charlie, I think it was a servant, told me that you left for Seaburn, so I decided...
You decided to track me down?
Yes.
Dr. Wiseman, you asked me a few moments ago whether I'd heard of your name before you mentioned it to me this evening. I told you that I had.
Mm-hmm.
Sir Graham Forbes found your name on a prescription belonging to the real Barbara Wallace.
What?
It's also been established that you supplied Miss Dawson, the real Mildred Dawson, with a prescription for a bottle of medicine. The medicine was made up for her.
I don't believe it. I just don't believe it.
I'm afraid it's true, Dr. Wiseman.
But... What does it mean? What does it mean, Mr. Temple?
I don't know. But I don't think there's anything for you to worry about. Go back to town. I shall be in London myself in 2 or 3 days, and I'll contact you if there's anything important.
Yes, all right. And the police?
Oh, don't worry. If it becomes necessary, I'll tell your story to the police.
Oh, well, thanks. You're very kind, and if there's anything I can do for Mrs. Temple...
Oh, Steve will be all right when she's had a good night's rest, I'm sure of that. Well... Good night, Dr. Wiseman, and... Oh, I meant to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you happen to know a young fellow called Davos? Peter Davos?
Davos?
Yes.
No.
You've never heard of him?
No, I'm afraid I haven't.
Oh. Hm. Yeah, I wondered, that's all. Mm. Hello. What is it?
You're wanted on the telephone, sir.
Oh, thanks.
And you'd better take it in the office. It's quieter in there.
Thank you. Excuse me, Doctor.
I'll be off. Good night, Mr. Temple.
Good night.
Good night, miss.
Hello?
Hello?
Paul Temple here.
Oh, hello, Mr. Temple.
Who is that?
This is Davos. Peter Davos.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Davos.
Mr. Temple, I've just heard about your accident. Are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right. Thanks very much.
What about Mrs. Temple?
She's a bit shaken up, but I think she'll be all right tomorrow morning.
I drove over the bridge about 10 minutes ago. Got the shock of my life when I saw your car. But what happened? Did a tire burst or something?
Well... Not exactly.
My word, you must have had a narrow squeak. Still, I'm very glad you're both all right, anyway.
Thank you, Mr. Davos. It's very nice of you to ring.
Not at all. Did you see Mr. Harcourt?
No, we were actually on our way to see Mr. Harcourt when the accident happened.
Oh, I see.
We'll probably pop over there tomorrow morning, if I can get hold of a car.
I'd lend you mine, Mr. Temple, but I'm going back to London tomorrow.
Oh, really? That's rather sudden, isn't it?
Yes, I've got some rather important business I've got to attend to. Oh, by the way, if you wish to contact me in London, my number is Primrose 1907.
Primrose 1907. Thank you, Mr. Davos.
Goodbye.
Good. Oh, I saw a friend of yours tonight. She sends her very kind regards.
Oh, who's that?
Dr. Wiseman.
Oh, Dr. Wiseman. How is she?
Oh, she's fine.
Is she staying down here?
Just for the night.
Oh, I see. Well, goodbye, Mr. Temple. I expect we shall meet in town.
Yes. Yes, I expect so. Goodbye, Mr. Davos. Well, you don't seem to be any the worse for wear this morning anyway, Steve.
I feel marvellous. What time did you come to bed last night?
It must have been about 10:30. I had a stroll down into the village.
Well?
If Barbara Wallace stayed down here, she must have kept herself very much to herself. No one seems to have noticed her.
What did you make of Dr. Wiseman?
She seemed quite an affable sort of person.
Did you believe that story she told you?
Did you believe it?
I don't know. What are we going to do today, Paul?
I thought we'd go out and see Harcourt this morning and then probably catch the 3:45 from Whitby.
Back to London?
Yes. It's no good going back to Bramley, Steve. I want to see Sir Graham and there are... Hello, who's this? Come in. Come in.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Temple, but... I don't think we've had the pleasure of meeting before. My name is...
It's Mr. Edward Day, isn't it?
Yes.
I thought I recognised you. We're just having breakfast, Mr. Day, but won't you come in? Oh, this is my wife.
How do you do, Mrs. Temple?
How do you do?
I say, it's most frightfully rude bursting in like this, but I'm on my way back to London, and I did rather want to see you, Mr. Temple.
Nonsense, it's perfectly all right.
Would you care for a cup of coffee?
No, really. It's awfully nice of you, but I really haven't more than a few moments to spare. Mr. Temple, you know why I came down to Seaburn, don't you?
I can guess. You wanted to find
out... I wanted to find out who brought my fiancée, Barbara Wallace, down here. I wanted to find out who the swine was that deliberately, brutally, sadistically strangled her, and then... I'm sorry. Please forgive me, Mrs. Temple.
And did you satisfy your curiosity, Mr. Day?
No. No, I'm afraid as a detective, even an amateur detective, I'm something of a failure. But I found out one rather interesting point, Mr. Temple. That's why I wanted to see you.
Well?
When I heard about your accident last night, I started to put two and two together. You were on your way to see Mr. Harcourt last night, weren't you, Mr. Temple?
How did you know that?
I went to see Harcourt myself about 2 or 3 days ago. Do you know what happened, Mr. Temple?
No.
I went in my car. When I reached the bridge where you had the accident last night, I heard another car coming up behind me. I heard him blowing his horn, and I pulled over to let him pass. Suddenly, and quite deliberately, he attempted to force my car off the road and over
the... That's exactly what happened to us.
Go on.
Fortunately for me, I skidded, or he'd have forced me right over the bridge.
Did you see the car?
I saw the car, all right, and I got the number, but I couldn't see the driver.
What was the number?
It was GKC973.
And you think that this was a deliberate attempt to stop you from seeing Mr. Harcourt?
I do. And I think the attempt on your life last night was for precisely the same reason.
But surely Harcourt can't know anything about this business. After all, he's just an old fisherman who happened to discover the body.
I wouldn't be too sure about that, Mrs. Temple, if I were you.
You saw Harcourt?
Yes, I saw him. He was annoyed and rather bad-tempered. I didn't get much out of him, I'm afraid. I'd like you to see him, Mr. Temple, and put the old boy through a third degree.
I'm rather afraid third degrees aren't much in my line, Mr. Day. But I'll most certainly see what I can do. By Timothy, just look at that view.
Isn't it heavenly? Is that the village over there?
Don't be silly, darling, that's Whitby. We haven't walked that far. There's Seaburn, over there, tucked away on the corner.
Oh, yes. It's wonderful up here.
Come along, Steve, we haven't far... Hello, who's this?
Hello, Mr. Temple. Good morning, Mrs. Temple.
Good morning.
I thought you were going back to London this morning, Mr. Davos.
I am. I'm leaving in about an hour. I've just been up to say goodbye to Mr. Harcourt.
As a matter of fact, that's just where we're going. Is the old boy in?
Yes, but I'm afraid you won't find him in a very good humour. He seems quite morose these days.
How far is the cottage, Mr. Davos? I do hope...
It's only just around the corner, Mrs. Temple.
Thank goodness for that.
Well, au revoir.
Goodbye, Mr. Davos. Come along, Steve.
It's a sweet little cottage, Paul.
Yes. The old boy doesn't seem to be in after all.
No.
I wonder if he's gone down to the shore.
Mr. Davos said he was in.
Yes. Let's try again.
What are we going to do?
I don't know. I rather wanted to see Harcourt before I left Seaburn. I wonder if...
What was that?
It sounded to me like a revolver shot from inside the cottage. Stay here, Steve. I'm going round to the back.
But, Paul...
If anyone comes out the front door, use this revolver.
But, Paul...
I shan't be a second.
Put your hands up. Put
your... All right, Steve. It's only me.
forced the back door. In any case, the revolver isn't loaded. Give it to me.
Well, I like that. What is it? Paul, what's happened?
It's Harcourt. He's dead.
Dead?
Yes. He's been shot through the head. Oh. Must have committed suicide.
Was that the shot we heard?
Yes.
Where is he?
He's sprawled across the table.
You're sure it's suicide?
What are you thinking of? Davos?
Yes.
No. No, it can't have been Davos. We heard the shot, Steve. There's no one else in the cottage and no one came out. I'm absolutely sure of that, so...
So it must be suicide?
Yes.
Paul? Paul, you're puzzled about something. What is it?
Well, it must be suicide. It can't be anything else. It can't possibly be anything else. And yet, there was this slip of paper. It was on the table near the body.
What does it say?
With the compliments of Mr. Gregory.
My dear Inspector, I'm quite prepared to believe that Harcourt committed suicide. In fact, so far as I can see it, there's no other possible explanation. But the point is, if Harcourt committed suicide, then who put that note on the table? Who wrote the note? And why in God's name did they take the trouble to write it immediately after shooting...
Well, there's only one possible explanation as to who
Don't
wrote the...
Don't keep on saying there's only one possible explanation. If you've got an explanation, let's have it.
All right. Harcourt made up his mind to commit suicide. He wrote the note and then quite deliberately...
He wrote the note?
You think that Harcourt wrote the note himself, Inspector?
I do.
But, my dear Vosper, we've proved, quite conclusively, that the note was definitely written by the same person that sent the note to Edward Day and the note to...
Just a minute, Sir Graham. I think I'm beginning to see what the inspector's getting at. You think that Harcourt not only wrote that particular note, but that he wrote the others as well. You think that Harcourt...
I think that Harcourt was crazy. Most probably a schizophrenia case. He murdered Barbara Wallace, Mildred Dawson, and then...
You mean
then...
to say that... You think that Harcourt, Bill Harcourt, was Mr. Gregory and that the case is now...
And that the case is now closed. Yes, I do, Sir Graham.
I beg your pardon, sir, but there's a gentleman to see Inspector Vosper.
Oh, I can't see anyone at the moment.
If you'll excuse me, sir, I think it's important.
Who is it?
His name's Murdo, sir, Sir Donald Murdo. He wanted to know if you were in charge of the Wallace case.
Do you know him, Vosper?
No, sir, but I've heard of him, of course. He's the ship owner, the young millionaire. You remember, sir, they bought up...
They bought up the East African shipping combine about 6 weeks ago.
That's right. You must remember, sir. It was in all the papers.
Yes. All right, Sergeant. Ask him in here.
Yes, sir. Will you step this way, please, sir?
Thank you. Inspector Vosper.
No, my name is Sir Graham Forbes. This is Inspector Vosper.
What seems to be the trouble, Sir Donald?
If you could spare me a few moments, Inspector, I should...
Oh, it's quite all right, Sir Donald. This is Mr. Temple. You've most probably heard of him.
Mr. Temple, Sir Donald. I'm glad you're here, Mr. Temple, because as a matter of fact, it crossed my mind that... Sir Graham, I want you to realize that this matter is confidential, highly confidential, and under no circumstances will I tolerate the slightest suggestion...
Supposing you begin at the beginning, Sir Donald, and tell us precisely what it's all about.
Well, now, I don't quite know where to begin. At least, I know where to begin, but I don't want you to get hold of the wrong end of the stick, as you might say. Mm-hmm. Last Sunday evening, I came down to London from Glasgow and booked a room. I should say a couple of rooms at the Royal Astoria Hotel. I had a friend with me, a young lady, and we were due to stay at the hotel until the end of this week. Now, don't get the wrong impression, gentlemen. She's an awfully nice girl, and the whole business was on a purely platonic...
Go on, sir.
Well, after breakfast this morning... Of course, we had breakfast downstairs, you know, in the... Well, after breakfast, my friend decided to go out and do some shopping. She told me that she had a fitting at a dress shop in New Bond Street, and I arranged to meet her for lunch at the Ritz Hotel. Turned up at the Ritz, as arranged, at about 1:45. At 3:15, there was still no sign of my friend.
I felt rather annoyed about things, but finally I pocketed my pride and strolled round to the dress shop.
Go on.
Well, the lady in the dress shop told me that my friend had never been near the place, that she hadn't, in fact, turned up for the fitting.
Well, go on, Sir Donald.
At first, I didn't quite know what to do. Then I made up my mind and returned to the hotel, our hotel, that is, the Royal Astoria. When I got into my bedroom, I found this little box. It was on the dressing table and had apparently been delivered by special messenger. You can see for yourself what the box contains. It contains a single pearl earring.
Do you recognize the earring?
Why, of course. It's one of the earrings that my friend was wearing when she went out this morning.
You're sure?
Of course I'm sure.
Was there anything else in the box?
Yes, sir. There was this card.
What does it say?
Well, it simply says the word wait. And then underneath there's the name Mr. Gregory.
Wait? Is that all it says?
That's all, sir. Here's the card.
What's this girl like? Describe her.
She's about 5'2", blonde, attractive, I suppose, in a sweet, simple sort of way. Inspector, I want you to understand that the whole affair must be treated with the greatest...
What was she wearing?
She was wearing a brown costume, a fancy, feathery sort of hat, and... Inspector, I don't want you to run away with the idea that this young lady...
How long have you known her?
She's a very old friend of the family. A very old friend. Why, my wife...
How long have you known her?
About a fortnight.
Her name?
Van Cleve. Virginia Van Cleve.
You have been listening to the second episode of Paul Temple and the Gregory Affair, a serial in 10 episodes by Francis Durbridge, with Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve. Others taking part were Simon Donaldson, Meg Fraser, Richard Greenwood, Michael McKenzie, Gareth Thomas, and Nick Underwood. The production for the BBC was by Patrick Rayner.